You, O God, when you're desiring to pour out your power and love upon us, let us just receive it. We cannot judge ourselves. We've already been judged at Calvary. Lord, we've already paid for our sins at Calvary through you, Jesus. We thank you, Father, you're so gracious and so forgiving. Bless your people, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. How many is excited this morning? Yeah. Hallelujah. We are truly a blessed people. We have truly a huge, tremendous opportunity in this hour that we live in. We live in a world that has a lot of darkness. We live in a world that has a lot of depression. You know, a lot of pathological things are going on. But we live in a time when God is supplying every single need that you can possibly have. Amen? And I just think that what we do is we take a little bit of a trickle here and a trickle there instead of taking everything that he's wanting us to just enjoy. And we're a little bit afraid. So I hope that you'll open up your hearts enough to let more of Christ come in. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Hallelujah. Want to just welcome all of our visitors and guests today and appreciate all of you being here with us. Trust that the Spirit of God is keeping you. And amen. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, which is the Greek word for brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies living, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Amen. Do you love that? Hallelujah. And I love this because it's written in an interesting way that you present, notice how it's worded here, that you present your bodies, right, plural, as a living sacrifice. So together, when we come together and we worship together, we're all presenting individually our bodies, but we're giving God an ultimate, all-together, united sacrifice. As a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? He accepts your praise today and your worship, which is your reasonable service. Amen. I love that, don't you? Reasonable service. You can look that up. It's pretty cool. And then it goes on to say, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Praise the Lord. That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We want to prove it and approve it and show what it is by our person becoming fully united with the will of God. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Transform your life today. You don't have to go to school to do it. You don't need 4 years of college to finally have the life you've always dreamed about. You don't have to become wealthy. You don't have to get the best job in town to finally have the life you've dreamed about. You don't have to marry the right person, although that helps. You don't have to, you know, people think they have to have something to make their life better, but you already have something to make your life better, and that's what Paul is dealing with here in this letter, because he's saying, look, your being, your body, your who you are is something that you can present to God, and it will become something very acceptable to him, useful for him, and useful for the kingdom, amen. And also, as saints, it is a way that we can become fully transformed. Hallelujah. How many believes that, we have a rapture coming? How many believes that that includes a body change? Now, a lot of church people who believe in a rapture at all, and there's not many, but there are groups of churches that do believe in a rapture, they never really talk about body change because it's sort of like, I don't understand it, so we don't really want to talk about it. But the Apostle Paul says, I'm going to tell you a mystery. We're going to all be changed. This thing's got to change. This is a body of humility, he said, and it needs to be a body of glory. And how are we going to get from a body of humility to a body of glory? From a body that is fraught with mortality into a body that is immortal, cannot die. How are we going to go from here to there? And so the way to go from there here to there is really a very similar. In fact, it's the same path to go from being lost to being saved. It is still going to be faith. Faith is the answer to everything. Hallelujah. And faith is motivated by love. Love from God. Love in your hearts in reaction or as a reciprocal response to God's love to you. How many accepts Jesus dying on the cross for you as God's love gift? And you receive it, and what does it do? How do I know you received it? Because I can see the way you're reciprocating. You're loving back on God. You don't go to church because you have to. You don't serve God so you can make it into the rapture. You're serving God out of total love. Though you end up making your bed in hell, or doesn't matter what he does, you're still going to love him. Amen. If he even sent you to hell, you'd still love him. Amen. Oh, Brother Elijah, I can't do that. Yeah, you can. Because he loves you, and he'll make it all work out in the end. Yeah. That's the way our God works. So present your body. Now, that means all of it. That includes your brain. Sorry, saints. I know we want to reserve our brains to ourselves. Hey, look, Lord, this is a tough body to run over here, and I've got to be able to manage this thing, and I have a management system going on here, and so I'll let you know when I need some help. No, it doesn't work like that. You present your body, you present your brain too. Now, the brain is a computer. It's the hardware. The brain is the hardware. The mind is the software. Does that make sense? And some people have a brain, but I don't know if they have a mind. Sometimes I don't know if I have a mind. I remember growing up, my mother told me she had a mind sometimes. Like, I have a mind to... And I found out my mom had a mind. And if she didn't know I did it, and she wasn't sure it was me or Mark, she would just line us both up, and we both got it. That way she knew she got one guilty. She truly got the guilty party. She'll let us deal with it later. Why didn't you tell her the truth? But all of it, that means your brain. Your brain is part of your body. And this is the connection you're going to see between verses 1 and 2. In fact, your body is simply the mechanical part of who you are. It is the vehicle that moves you around. Your brain and your heart and your emotional self is you, is the real you, your spirit. And your body is just a house. It's a mobile house, but it's the house that you live in. Your body is not you. All right, Brother Tom, right? So if you asked me, hey, Brother Elijah, how do I look? I'd say, it's hard to see, Brother Tom. I'm just looking at your house. I can't tell you how you look. Your wife says, how do I look? He says, I can't see through the house, but the house looks good, but I can't tell you. Because the real you is that spirit on the inside, and the Bible's going to show you the connection between the human spirit and the human mind. It's interconnected. It's all part of the same thing. Now, the mind is simply the software. You could say that the spirit that's working the software is like the person sitting at the computer. So now you've got a computer, it's made of hardware, you've got the software that's been downloaded into the computer for the use of the person who's going to use the computer. Now, we are living in a world today where people feel that the person on the computer, is controlled by the computer. Well, it's getting that way, but we're not there yet, thank God. It almost feels like it's getting that way, right? But that's exactly how we think. We feel like if I feel something, I'm going in that direction. If I'm tempted in a certain way, that's where I'm going. And we are not supposed to be controlled by our minds. Talk about you, the person in your body. Yes, your body is controlled by your mind, but the person in you controls the mind. It is the one who is authorizing what gets downloaded and uploaded and outloaded and everything else. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all you're heavy laden, and downloaded. We need to lay aside all the downloads and the weights. You see, we have so much downloaded, sometimes it's just a whole lot of viruses and junk.
Yes.
And what we need to do is have a cleaning going on in the mind. Amen? Yeah. So the mind is something that you, the real you, have the power to program. We'll talk about it a little bit further, but here's how this works. Believers are expecting a rapture. They're expecting a body change, a physical transformation. How many here can say, that's my expectation? There is going to be a physical transformation. You're going to see this guy changed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You believe that? And so, but what a lot of people are doing, believers are doing, is thinking of this change, this transformation, as coming from without them, outside of you. That, you know, I suppose we'll all see Jesus. He'll be coming, stepping off a cloud. We'll look up and that'll change my body, or I'll go up in a rapture. And, That is not how it works. That's not how it works, saints. The Bible's very clear that all transformation begins from within, by the renewing of your mind. You see, Jesus has already instigated the transformation, but we're on the receiving end of it. So either we resist it or we accept it, and we can act in that realm. And get enabled to acquire a brand new body.
Hallelujah.
Hopefully that's what you've been doing. You're in that process of just responding to what he's already sent out to you. And you're just responding to become what he sent out. He said, I send my word out to you and it will not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish that which I sent it out to do. If God says there's going to be a body change, I tell you that's a word that must come back full. It has to be fulfilled, and I have to be a part of that. God's promised it. It's a promise. It's a prophecy. I must be part of it. So it doesn't come from without, but it comes from within. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Proverbs 23, I think it is. Might be 28. But it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Your thoughts are creating you. It's creating your life. And the problem with most people is they live in the realm of reaction. And how they react, they feel they have no control over. And when they do react poorly and continue to create a bad formation in their life, let's use the word conform, don't be conformed to this world. The world lives in a mindset of stuff happens to me, and I have the right to react the way I do because I deserve to complain, I deserve to be upset. You know, I spilled tea on myself on the way here, and I'm all upset. I chose not to be upset. I wear this tea proudly. Too bad if you see it now and you're all totally distracted. That's your problem. That's because you're reacting. You know, I can't control it now. And this is what I'm bringing to you. We are sons and daughters of God. We are in control. We are doing something different than the whole world. The whole world is out of control, under someone else's control. It's somebody else's fault. When something good happens, somebody else did it. True, when something good happens, God did it. But you got to understand, God is doing things, but he's doing it through us. Jesus made it very clear. Look, you're out there by yourself. You're burdened down. You're worried, you're stressed out, come unto me. All you who are heavy laden with the mental constructs and the whole mental challenges of life you're living, come to me, he's saying. And what is he saying? I'm going to give you rest. And rest, the prophet of God said, is the secret to the supernatural. If you can get neutral, supernatural things will happen in your life. Miracles will transform because you get neutral. Watch how Jesus, his whole 3.5 years of ministry was, he was a very neutral guy. He woke up in the morning, he yawned, he stretched, he thanked his heavenly father, and somebody knocked on the door. And there he goes. And then on his way to go, somebody pulls on his clothes, and somebody asks him to go this way. And you're wondering, Jesus should have organized his ministry. This is ridiculous. He can't even do anything. It was perfect. It was perfect the way it was. He knew everything was supposed to happen the way it was happening. Jesus lived such a full life of, I know that all things are happening because they're supposed to. It's not fatalism. It's design. It's direction. We, in our human abilities, have power to go any direction we want to. We can fight the design. God designed you a certain way. We live in a world today where people fight the design. I'm really a woman. I gotta go have an operation. You're just fighting the design. You know, honestly, it's a lot of this stuff going on. Pretty soon you'll have people who say, I'm really a dog. And they're going to crawl around and start barking. There was a king, an emperor in the Bible who thought he was an ox. And he started eating grass. And that's just somebody who's insane. Now, it doesn't mean we don't love people. He ended up being a good king. He did good things, ultimately, for God's people. So we don't hate people. We love people, but we understand the mind is where it's at. We are living in a time called the battlefield of the mind. It is an absolute all-out war between forces to get control of the mind. The mind is so powerful. Hallelujah. How many believe this? As a man thinks in his heart, as you think in your heart, you are. You are whatever you think about the most. Whatever you contemplate the most, whatever you worry about the most, whatever you fear the most, that's who you are, and that's the life you live. Because you are conforming. I'm not going to say transforming, but you're conforming, and we're guilty of it, and we all need to learn. That's the incorrect way. God never designed us to have others program. You have the power to decide what gets downloaded and what gets erased. You have the power to do that. Jesus provided something that can erase the hardware and the software and anything else that needs to be done. But he has come up with something called his blood. And the Holy Spirit, which can come in the form of fire. Hallelujah. And we need another baptism of that, don't you think so? So there was a Welsh revival, as you can all have studied revivals, and this one in particular is very powerful. Happened, I think, in the 1700s or 1800s. And there were, if you remember, there was a police officer standing on a street corner who had been totally filled with the Holy Spirit. He was part of it. He was just, his life was transformed, but he was just doing his job. You know, he's standing there on the corner, I believe it was, and a gentleman came from some other country, I believe, or some other area, and came over and says, hey, you're a police officer. You should know this. Where is the Welsh revival? You know, it's always man's way. You know, God moves, a man wants to capture it like a butterfly and put it in a box. Hopefully they put a few holes in there, but otherwise their religion dies. That's just man's way. Where is that? You can't, you know, that's why they could never find Elijah the prophet, because he could not be captured. But here's the point. This gets exciting. Where is the Welsh revival? And then the police officer said, here. And he said, where? And he says, you're looking at it. What? You know, he couldn't understand. What's he talking about? And he says, I am the Welsh revival. Hallelujah. You know, and people are asking the question, we're living in the day where the scriptures have prophesied, Peter, I believe it was, that people in the end time are going to ask, where is the promise of his coming? Where is the promise of his coming? Where is the promise of the rapture? Where is it? And all I can tell you, saints, is it's here. It's here. Where is it? Where? It's here. You're looking at it. Hallelujah. People want to see something coming from the heavens. They want to see something that'll say, oh, the coming of the Lord is here. I get it. But in the first coming, they were thick-headed and couldn't see it. Do you think they're going to see it in the second coming? There's more distraction going on today than there was in the first coming. Believe me, many will miss it. Because they're missing it now. And I can say on the authority of the Word and by the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the Word revealed in this hour, you're looking at the second coming. Where is it, Brother Elijah? I don't see it. I wish you would. Hallelujah. But if that police officer could say, I am the Welsh revival, then I can tell you today, I am the Bride's revival. I am the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're the only second coming of Christ anyone will see. you don't see that, you can't see the rest. Oh, won't I see the clouds open? No, you won't see it that way. That's not Scripture. You're thinking of after the tribulation period. You don't want to wait till then. Hallelujah. Where is the promise of His coming? Aren't you glad we have an answer? We're not children of darkness. We're children of the light. Hallelujah. Brother Elijah, where's the rapture going to happen? Here. What are you talking about? I am the rapture. I am the body change. Hallelujah. That's what's going on inside of me. There's something changing, clicking, processing, moving. Stuff's being removed. Weights and sins being dropped off. Righteousness growing up. Hallelujah. There's a programming unfolding. Praise the Lord. I've got a body coming, and it's going to materialize right here in front of you. You're going to materialize. The resurrection's going to happen, and we're going to be a part of the biggest, greatest event that ever strikes the earth. We're here. God chose you to be born in this age. I don't know who would want to miss it, but I don't want to miss it. And I'm not going to, because I'm already in it. Hallelujah. So, Brother Elijah, where's the bride's revival? Anybody here know? Anybody here know? If anybody know, anyone here knows where the bride's revival is, raise your hand. Hallelujah. At least a few of you know. Well, whoever raised their hand, whoever didn't, look at the person that raised their hand. Now, that's where the bride's revival is. All right. Hallelujah. Is there more to it? You betcha. It's going to keep increasing. Hallelujah. I can say this on authority of the Word of God and the revelation of this hour. I am the bride coming of Christ. Can you say it? I am the bride coming of Christ. Doesn't that feel good? When's the last time you said that? I don't think I've ever said that. No kidding. Get in the mirror and start talking to yourself. I am the bride coming of Christ. I don't know what anybody's looking for, but I'm seeing it unfold. Hallelujah. And the lights are turning on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I am Jesus in a bride form. I'm just using a vindicated voice to transform my life. I accept this programming because the other programming was sort of horrible. I'm just a no good, low down sinner, barely going to make it by grace. Hallelujah. I'm glad I belong to this denomination. I'm going to get in. My pastor's so good, if I hold on tight to his coattails. Sorry, I'm not making fun of the Southern. I love it. I'll talk like a New Englander in a minute here. Get some of them in trouble. Yeah, I'm in the rapture. Really? How do you know? Well, my church preaches the truth. Good luck. Hold on to those bricks real tight. Good luck. Hope it works. Listen, saints, we're in a mobile church. We're just moving here and there, wherever the Lord leads. I'm not worried about it. We may end up with a building, that's perfectly fine. But the building will have nothing to do with whether we go into rapture or not, whether we're saved or not, whether because you're the building. You're it. You're the building He cares about. He doesn't care about any other temple but you. You're the temple. And they can build a temple in Jerusalem, and God's going to honor it at some point, and it's all only going to represent the true building, which is you. That's just a type of the real thing. Now, how many believes that God is a creator? He is the creator, and we are His children. We are minor creators. Don't ever forget this. And even people who might deny that are actually doing it. Everybody is a minor creator. Everybody, you ever see these kids going around with the music on 24/7, heads bopping, going around 24/7, and then you start noticing them changing. They start getting tattoos everywhere, and they have studs and metal coming out of their body. I see this one guy, he put two little bumps right here in his forehead. He had them injected, you know, pieces of bone stuck in there. What's wrong with that? Nothing wrong with that. He's just manifesting what he's absorbing. He's downloading stuff. And it's coming out. You know, what made Hitler Hitler? He downloaded a whole lot of stuff. And then he just manifested it. So I'm just presenting to you today. You want to transform your life today, watch what you're downloading. Because whatever you're putting in is going to show up. It's going to come out of your skin. Praise the Lord. Is it true? Has anybody ever gotten under your skin? Now I don't get hands, right? Nobody wants to put their hand up now. I'm going to be the only one. Anybody ever gotten under your skin before? Wow. There's a few of us. We're okay admitting it. Okay, so let me ask you, what did they find when they got under your skin? Was it the devil? Or was it Jesus? Was it Jesus with skin on? Or something else? We want to change that. That's what the transformation is all about. So when people do get under your skin, they're seeing Christ. They're seeing Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I've come to a conclusion of why people easily get under some of our skins more than others. It's because you easily get under your own skin. That's right. We sometimes trouble ourselves. We're, oh, you idiot. Right? Easy to do when you spill tea on yourself. Gideon knows. He was with me. He's my witness. He knows that didn't happen. I just say, hey, Gideon, what do we got to wipe this off? What do you got? And he's digging and looking. I was tempted to use a sleeve on a shirt, but... But just keep a good attitude. My BMW, I thought the engine burnt up and seized, but it wasn't. It was just simply there was a leak in the radiator, a hose from a sensor that went bad, and it ran out of coolant, and the engine lit up, and everything happened. So I pulled it over, and I remember the pressure, the feeling of this is our last car. The other car just died. And within the last year or so, we've lost two vehicles. We're down to one. We still have three drivers. I'm about to take Gideon's license away. That way we only have two drivers. Since he's only 17, he doesn't need to drive. But I made the decision. Something good is about to happen. God's got a plan in this. I can't wait to see what he's about to do. And seriously, I was excited. I actually got excited. I got myself excited. I called Enterprise. I got a rental car pickup because they come and pick you up, which is kind of cool. And the car was towed to the shop, and I didn't stress about it. Just moving on. And I see things from that unfolding in my life, and along the same area transportation. So, for example, on Sunday I was flying back from a conference meeting I was at this past Sunday. And I was flying back into town. Well, I was actually I went to the airport to get my seat arrangement set up. I didn't exactly love these tickets, but they were a good price. So you can't complain when the price is right. And they don't call them red eye for nothing. No, there's a reason why they call it a red eye. That's not just the term. That's an experience. At least it's not black eye, but it's still pretty rough. At any rate, I walked up to the counter. And this guy was cool because I was in line. And he just, everybody walking away was all happy, and it never happens that way. When you're in an airport, you know, people are like, grumbling. And they're like, oh, hey, thanks. And they're all walking around thanking this guy, and he was emanating this amazing positive energy that was incredible. I loved it. So when I got up there, I said, yeah, I just need to make seating arrangements. And he says, okay, well, you're seated here. And then I said, is there any way to move me up closer and in a window seat? Those are the two things that are very difficult for them to do, but I'm always looking for people to perform miracles at the airport. So can I get a window and up? So he says, I can get you an aisle and an exit row. I didn't really want that because you know what happens to the exit row seats? You push the button there and nothing. There's no way that's going back. I wish they would remove those buttons. That's just torture. Why would you put somebody, I got all this leg room. I'm thinking this is going to be the perfect flight. Oh no, you got to be kidding. And I said, no, I don't want that exit row. Is there anything else? He says, oh, you know what? It looks like I got you a window seat and blah, 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 blah. And I think he even printed the ticket out. So somehow he made it work. And then he goes, hold on a second. Looks like you're going to land at 1 a.m. in the morning. And it was 7 p.m. at night. So it was like a crazy layover in Baltimore. He goes, I can get you on another flight and get you home at 9:40. I said, I'll take it. And as soon as he's telling me this, I'm thinking, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Good things come my way. See, if something bad happens, you should do that. If something good happens, you should do that. And so then he goes, you know, he says, now that I'm looking, it just must be your lucky day. Don't call me lucky, call me blessed. Amen. So at any rate, he says, you're getting bumped up to first class. I said, please don't do that. I'd rather sit in the bathroom. I was just kidding. I didn't say that. I said, hallelujah. Don't put me by the bathroom. So they gave me first class. But, you know, all along the way, saints, we are to live a blessed life. That's just what God says. This is, you don't think Abraham left Ur, comfortable Ur of the Chaldees and comfortable Haran to go to this unknown promised land without this promise of God saying, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you so much, you are going to become a blessing. Everywhere you go, blessing's going to be like falling off you onto everybody else. You see what I'm saying there? And so this is our call as children of Abraham to live a blessed life. A life of bliss, happiness, joy, excitement. Hallelujah. Are you into it? Do you believe it? So see, God is a creator and we are minor creators. And I want to ask you a question. What was God's first creative word that he ever spoke? I asked my son this and he got it right. I'm really proud of him. Gideon got it right on the way down here, so this was good. I just wanted to test it out a little bit. But how many here knows what God's first creative words were? Well, we understand, but according to the Bible, recorded, let there be light, right? So there's this whole let there be. And by the way, something just as a side note, but the word to be or let there be is eheye. It is a Hebrew word which means let come into existence. Let exist in this place light. And when God did that, he transformed the world around him. And you'll notice God uses this same word when Moses says, what's your name? I want to be able to have authority to talk to your children and tell them what your name is because they're going to ask me. And actually, we kind of assume Moses wanted to know himself. So that's probably the real reason. But at any rate, because there's no record they ever asked him. But at any rate, God says, I am who I am. We all know that, right? I am who I am, which is Eheye, Asher, Eheye. I am being who I am being. And if he is eternal existing one, he can bring anything into existence. He is the one who is existence. Hallelujah. And Paul understood that when he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And Paul ends up saying the same thing. We are all part of the I am. Can you say amen? So, you know, you're part of the creator himself. I am who I am. Hallelujah. That's all you need to know. I am existence. I create all things that have existence. I create them. What was God doing before he spoke, let there be? Well, the Bible says the Holy Spirit, his spirit, was hovering over the deep. He was in deep contemplation. You know, sometimes we do our best thinking when we're in something deep. And not necessarily something good. It was pretty messy. The whole earth was covered in water. It was shrouded in darkness. Nothing was happening the way it should have. There were seeds buried all over the earth, but they couldn't come out. They couldn't manifest. The earth could not become the garden it was supposed to be because of this water and darkness. And that's why let there be light was a resolution, was a solution to begin renovating. We need to renovate our lives, saints, because there's been a whole lot of darkness, a whole lot of water that needs to be moved. So you could imagine if Jesus, the Holy Spirit, thought, well, let's start with the water, and he got a bucket. Right? It's not going to work. That's how we try to deal with our problems. See, problems are not a bad thing. They're a good thing. Problems come to you not so you can worry about them. Problems come to you so they can be solved. A problem is designed to be solved because the resolution was in existence before the problem ever showed up. Before there was ever sin, there was already a Savior. Otherwise, it would have been very hard for God to backtrack. That wouldn't have worked. Before there was ever sickness, there was health, a healer. You see what I'm saying, saints? And so God, what caused such a tremendous draw of speaking the word, let there be light, was the darkness. The troubles that come into our lives bring greatest opportunity for creativity to happen. Creativity, ingenuity, all happen because there's problems. The necessity is the mother of invention. Does that make sense? So when trouble comes, instead of you creating more of it by going, oh no, look at this mess I'm in, right? And the mess gets messier and the muddy water gets muddier. Instead of doing that, we just sit there and look at it like God did. Maybe spend some time hovering. Just hover over it because something good is going to come out of it. Hallelujah. Contemplate. He's thinking. God's thinking. Every word is the thought expressed. God was already thinking light. Gideon got that one right too, he says. He was thinking light. God was thinking light. That's all he had to do is think it. Hallelujah, and it's going to happen. When the woman, her son died, she laid him in the prophet's bed and she went running. She sent somebody and she went along herself and she got to the prophet and he said, is everything okay? You remember her words? All is well. Let that be a lesson to us. What she was doing was she was already creating the results. She was going to get the results because she was already manifesting that with her thoughts and with her words. All is well. Hallelujah. And so his spirit was hovering over the deep there, fluttering, as the Bible says, like a dove. And what it was God was thinking. When Jesus came out of the water after being baptized, can you say amen? A dove, the Holy Spirit, like a dove, came and rested on him. And then he was driven. He had purpose. He had direction. Didn't necessarily go in a good direction. The Spirit of God didn't drive him to the nearest restaurant and give him a free meal. It drove him into the wilderness. Sometimes that's what happens. But it didn't matter. What we're seeing there is the Lamb of God who's now has his mind fully captivated by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is controlling his thinking and everything else in a good way, right? There's a teamwork going on there, a composite working together. And so God was thinking. And as we know the scripture, as a man thinks, it's the same. God made us in his image. As God thinks in his heart, so is he. God's thoughts are himself. Praise the Lord. He is light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 8:28. I want you to turn there in your Bible to Romans 8:28. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:28, 29, 30. God is good, is he not? And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Hallelujah. How many can say that all things work out for me? I want to change your language. I want to change your downloading right now. All things work out for me. All things. Everything works out. Everything works in my favor. I'm a blessed person. I'm attracting blessing in my life. I can't help it. It's all coming my way. All good things happen. Every time I turn around, there's another blessing coming to run me down. And I'm okay with that. You see, saints, that's the Word of God. That's the Word of God. And Romans 8, by the way, is one of the great rapture chapters of the Bible because it ultimately talks about the adoption, the redemption of our bodies, which is pointing to a body change. And that whole thing is going to unfold within you, within me, because we have an attitude of all things are working to produce the Word of God. God promised there will be people with a body change, and so all those things are going to happen to me because God said so, and I believe it, and everything in my life is happening to bring that about. Good, bad, or ugly, I don't care. It's all good in the end. Do you believe it? Now, why is that? Because you and I are a thought of God. Let's read it. For whom he foreknew. Did you notice that God did not have to foreknow what you would do in time or down the stream of time? God did not have to know what you were going to do in order for him to determine whether you're going to be a useful part of his plan or not. It works the other way. You are his plan. You are part of his plan. Let everything in time and in the stream of time work around you. God doesn't have to work around your decision. God is not depending on you to make the right decision. God is not depending on you to decide. You and I will make the wrong decision every time. But God, by his grace, put a seed gene down on the inside of you the day that you were born when he breathed the breath of life into you. He put a little spot in you, a little light, a little flicker. He put something in you that would respond to his word, and there would be a deep in you calling and a deep in God responding, or vice versa. Either way, it would ultimately be a divine spark in you that has to respond to Papa God, because that's God's child. You can't help it. See, God's not going to run a haphazard business. He's not going to do a guest job. He knows how this thing can work. But he allowed you to be a part of this whole thing in order for you to be able to grow from nothing to something. He's creating in you something in the image of Jesus Christ. Can you say praise God? So now, this scripture, whom he foreknew, which can be worded, those of you that God knew before what? Before creation, before the universe was created, before angels were created, before anything happened, God knew you. You were in his knowledge. You are his thought. It's not even really correct to say you were in his thoughts. You were his thoughts. It's more than you were just in his knowledge. God was aware of you. Yeah, you shall show up someday and be a real idiot, but I'll go ahead and save you because I feel sorry for you. Not like that at all. God runs a successful business. He already knows the end from the very beginning. And so he knows you, so you're a thought. He also predestinated, the scripture says, in verse 29, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And this is really referring to the resurrection from the dead. All right, so just keep that in mind. We can back that up somewhere else. But watch how he talks about it almost in more of a rapture format, a body change. Moreover, verse 30, moreover, whom he predestinated, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. So saints, no matter what happens, there's already a path that you're going on, hallelujah, and it's a path of grace, and we're excited about it, but there was a predestinated, predetermined thought in you, waiting, calling, crying out for something in God. God sent his word, you responded, you were born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, and now you're growing in Christ. Growing into the very glory that's going to change your body. Praise the Lord. Now Jesus said these words, don't worry, don't fear. God sees the sparrows. God knows how many hairs are on your head. We have an amazing God, you know. Even Christoph can't count how many hairs are on our heads. And he's pretty good with numbers. See, but God knows every single hair on your head. Aren't you glad he counted them when you were around 20? You can't lose a one of them. Hallelujah. See, what is Jesus saying? Saying, I need you. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to learn to live the way I live. And that means you are no longer allowed to worry about tomorrow or today. About clothing, food, nothing. That is not what you're here for. I'm relieving you of that job. Let the world do it. But don't be like the world. I'm allowing you, I want you to know I'm the good shepherd. And the Lord is my shepherd. And I shall not lack. I know it says want, but it's the same word. It's changed a little bit. But in the old Hebrew, it's lack. If the Lord is your shepherd, you will lack nothing. Nothing. Well, Brother Elijah, sometimes I lack. Is the Lord your shepherd in that area of your life? Well, not really. I am. I'm my own shepherd. Well, let's fire you and let's hire Jesus. How's that been working for you? Oh, not too good. Well, let's get Jesus on the job here. You know, he's the good, the great, and the chief shepherd. So So he says, don't worry, don't stress out, stop doing that. You know, tomorrow is tomorrow. Well, basically what he's saying is, I desire you to think the best of today and tomorrow. Think in the best terms. All things will work together for the good for me, because I love God and I'm called according to his purpose. Amen. If you're called, you're predestinated. Those who he predestined, he called. All right, so you're predetermined. And then Job said these words, which ought to really be a big lesson. That which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that's why I'm sitting on this ash heap. Lost all my well-being and my children and so on. Here, saints, your thoughts and your emotions are attached to those thoughts create your life. Now, don't let this bother you, because sometimes we become fearful. Oh, no, if I'm feeling bad, this is going to happen if I do bad. And then you start worrying about worrying. That's a chronic condition. Maybe it's a critical condition. Could be worse. But how many can say that I know who holds tomorrow? I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. So what we need to do is change the programming. We need to do some deprogramming and some reprogramming. That's what the word renewing our mind means. It means you have to renew it. Now, if you don't get rid of stuff, you can't put stuff in. See, because our minds are full. We have a lot of stuff in there. And sometimes it's full of baloney. And so we need to get rid of the bad food that's going rotten and get the good food in there. Now, there's an entire storehouse that the Lord has packed full that if we'll just tap into that and start eating off of that storehouse and feeding our minds, amen, we will continue to grow and grow and grow. And grow right into a body change, into a rapture. We must experience this renewing of our minds. The deprogramming is very simple, saints. You ready for this? It's the Holy Ghost and fire. You just need the Holy Ghost to come in with Jesus Christ with a fan in his hand and fiery, you know, just burn out these negative thoughts, tear down strongholds, rip them down and ship them out, and let's get rid of this wrong way of thinking. You need to just look back at yourself and say, this is how I do. I know what I'm doing wrong. I see it all the time. As soon as this happens, I react the same way. My husband, we have the same argument over and over. We have the same thing. And my wife, same problem. My children, same thing. If you keep repeating something over and over again, and you think that, you know, doing the same thing is going to produce a different result, that's, you know, what that's called, right? Yeah, we don't want to go down that road. So we have to do something different. We have to do something new. We have to have our minds renewed. And so that's going to require a fresh outpouring. How many could sure use a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit? And even as Brother Branham said, you're not afraid of this, right? Maybe we need our brains to be baptized. I think that's true. I mean, I think I need my brain to be baptized again. The Holy Spirit comes with fire. He burns out that which doesn't belong. We'll get rid of that. And then reprogram it. You don't want to empty the space because stuff, viruses will get in there. Amen? So you want to reprogram it. And that is done by the Word of God. This precious word that we have is what we need to reprogram our minds with. And so we're going to talk about three practical principles that you can take with you and start using right away, and then we'll close. Is that okay? Does everybody understand the concept today and what we're talking about, how important this is? All right, so let's talk about three applicable principles. And this is a little bit of a mind shift first, but we kind of need person who's programming the computer needs to know, oh, I know what I need to do next. And a lot of this, saints, is not so much how to do things, because that's just that's how we live. We're pathological people, pathological society. Our job is to fix everything broken, and even when it's not broken, we still try to fix it. We look at sickness, we study sickness, but who studies health? Who studies well-being? We study mental illness, but who studies a great mind? Nobody. It's a waste of time. There's no money in it. The money's only in fixing problems. I don't agree with that, but I don't really care where the money is. The Bible came to us free because Jesus paid the price. There's no price. This is priceless stuff. It's priceless. Secrets of God. Everything, this is number one, principle number one, and this is just something you got to shift your mind to understand. Everything in the universe is energy, and it vibrates at different frequencies. The color red, Brother Branham says, has a certain frequency. The color orange is another frequency. Chemicals come together to make these colors. When you see a color, there are little nerves in your eyes, exposed nerves, that react to the color. And it's simply light hitting something and bouncing off, and the light is refracting a certain way, and your eyes pick it up that's orange. That's red. That's yellow. That's just colors. But if we break it down to talking about atoms and talk about electrons, and we start talking about quarks, if you want to get into that. But everything in this whole entire universe is just energy. Even matter, if you look at matter, the seat you're sitting in is just a bunch of energy. So that's number one principle, and you can see this in Romans 8 also, where it says all things work. Now, it's very interesting because the word work in Greek is the word synergy. This particular word is synergy, work together. It's one word. We see two words there, but it's one word, synergy. And we all use the word synergy, or you heard the word synergy, right? It is two things or multiple things working together. That's called synergy. And it breaks out of the word sin or soon, which means together, and energy. All things are energy. When we become believers and when we get our minds right with God and aligned with His Word, then all this energy starts working together in tandem for you. That's why we can have a prophet stand here and say, I take every spirit under my control. How did he do that? How do you do that? Jesus did it. Paul did it. The early church did it. And we ought to do it unconsciously, just doing it. When I walk into a store, I don't care. People live in their lives thinking, what if this bad thing happens? Cowards die a million deaths before they ever go to battle. It's true. We almost do nothing initiatively wise. We almost do nothing proactively because we're afraid. What if I fail? What if it doesn't work? And we live a life of what if instead of just what is. Wherever you go, everything is energy anyway. Good and bad, Ecclesiastes says, happens to everybody. Why not let it work for your good? So there's really nothing to worry about. When you worry, when you have fear, you're emanating that out there, and that energy is attracting to you. That's just how it works. It's just principles of the law. If you walk off this building, you're probably going to get hurt. It's not the asphalt's fault, even though it's called asphalt. It's not the fault of the asphalt. It is gravity. Sorry, that didn't come out too well. It's one of those pulpit things that gets preachers red in the face. And I don't want to tell you some of the things I've seen. It just kind of makes me laugh. But it's gravity. Saints, does that make sense? There's laws in place that are principles of God. And we're not really here to play with those laws. We're here to understand them and work with them. Remember how Satan said to Jesus, jump off this building? And angels will protect you. And Jesus is like, I'm not going to tempt God. I'm not going to do it just to see him do something. It's when it's needed. You live a life that when things are needed, God is supplying the need. It's always going to be there. All things are going to work for me. So that's number one. It's definitely deserves more time. We don't have the time. Number two, the human brain transmits and receives energy. And you may not understand this, but the energy coming from your brain is more powerful than gravity. First and second law of thermodynamics, which is the strong and weak nuclear force. The energy or the transmission from your brain, this is not going to go over your head, saints. This is supposed to be coming from your head. But the energy coming from your brain is more powerful than radio waves coming from the nearest radio tower. Your cell phone, which is in some of your purses or maybe near you, is emanating, as long as it's on, it's emanating some kind of energy. But your brain is emanating stronger, more powerful forces than even that. It's just your phone captures it. It condenses it. It's able to control it. It's more of a line of energy. But your brain transmits thoughts. Thoughts are energy. Thoughts are things. We become, we do, and we live what we think about the most. Now, I know this is a hard one for you guys because I know you're doing what I did, and that is, no, I can't. Other people are at fault. I still struggle with not blaming others or other circumstances or things outside of my control. We are not a people who live in the life of excuses. We're a people who get things done. We're doers. We're minor creators. We are Ehe-ye people. Hey, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? I'm an Ehe-ye person, speaking Native American, First Nation. Here's where I get this from. The Bible said God knows our thoughts. You can't hide your thoughts from God. Now, you may be hiding it from me. I may not know what you're thinking right now, even though there are times when I do know, sometimes. You probably have experienced it where you know what somebody's thinking is weird. You start thinking about somebody and the phone rings and then it's them. That's all happening. And thoughts don't move like light moves. Light has a speed. Thoughts have no speed. Light has to move on certain things within our universe. Has to travel on something. But thoughts travel through what we might call the dark matter. We might call God particles. You can look this up. God particles, dark matter, don't emanate any kind of radiation because it's just material out there. The Bible says that the whole universe is held together by the Word of God, by the powerful Word of God. The Bible says God spread out the universe like a curtain. Now scientists agree the universe is somewhat flat, and it's like an accordion curtain that keeps on stretching. It's all connected. Isn't it amazing how science just can't help themselves? They got to vindicate God's Word? Even if they're an atheist. That means that, like a spider's web, but much different, when something hits one part of the web, the spider's aware of it over here. It's much more instant than that. When you're thinking a thought, it's already gone out and come back the same time you thought it. You ever think of something, man, that would be a great invention, I just thought of something. Then you go look it up on Google and somebody else already thought of it. Or pretty close behind. You know, within a few months, it's there. You're like, I thought of that 2 months ago. That's because no thought is really just hidden in your brain. Your thoughts are creating your life. You have the power to think and speak a world into existence and go live on it. It just comes with it. You believe it? Brother Branham said, our thoughts are louder in heaven than our words are on earth. And now he didn't just make that up. An angel told him that. People are not aware that when they're thinking that nothing's happening. You're thinking something's happening. That's why Jesus came. He said, it's not enough for you to not go out and stab somebody with a knife until they're dead or shoot them with a gun or hit them with a rock. It's not enough. You got to understand, Jesus came from heaven to explain what's going on in heaven. You just hate your brother without a cause. You're a murderer. It's the same emotion. It's the same experience. We can have sometimes a very grinding hatred towards somebody, a very upset nature about somebody, even in traffic, somebody you don't even know, even at the store. You know, you're trying to grab the last grapefruit, and some little old lady hits you with her cart and gets it. And you're like, whatever. You know, you see how your spirit is working. This is where I want you to start paying attention. To the software and what it's spitting out. That's not good stuff. I got to get that out of there. And stop yourself and take that window of opportunity to change your thought pattern. Praise the Lord. Amen. Our brain, our hardware, is made of neuro pathways. And what you do over and over and over again creates millions and millions and millions of neural pathways so that you start going down these ruts in your life over and over because you can't seem to control yourself. You can. You have to stop and create new neural pathways. Use the Word of God to do just that. Start thinking with His thoughts. You have the mind of Christ. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Can you say that with me? I have the mind of Christ. I don't need to use my mind. I'm using His mind. in his mind, superimposes upon your mind. Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man's mouth that defiles him, it's what's coming out of his heart. It's not what goes into you that blesses you, what comes out of you. Say, Brother Elijah, my life's not very blessed. I don't live with much blessing. Find out what you're transmitting. Brother Branham said that your soul, your mind, is a transmitter. He called it a radio tower. It's sending out a signal, it's bringing in a signal. The question is, what are you sending out and what are you bringing in? Now, see, you can't really control what's coming towards you so much, but you can control what you're sending out. And whatever you send out the most comes back to you the most. It's just another law. It's called like attracts like. Law of sowing and reaping. Whatever you sow, thoughts, words, feelings, whatever you sow out, if you sow frustration, some of you, that's just something you can't help but you get frustrated so often. And you've created all these neural pathways, it's very hard to get around it. But that's where you got to start doing it now. Today is your day to do it. And start saying, I'm not doing that anymore. From now on, this is what I'm sending out. I don't care what happens to me, I'm in control. In fact, if you really want to understand this, and this gets a little deeper, but some of the stuff happening to you is what you've already sent out. I mean, you sent it out and asked for it to be sent to your house. It's like an Amazon order. Send me negativity, complaining, can't stand you, and some frustration. I'd like to have all that sent to me. And overnight for an extra $50, no problem. I'll take the overnight. Get that to me quick. And you don't know you're doing it. Jesus knew they were doing it. That's why he had to stop them and say, stop it. If you're going to follow me, you've got to start doing what I'm doing. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Has your mind been renewed this morning? God bless you. Musicians, come. Musicians, please come. We're going to spend a little time on this as if the Lord will. There's I only hit basically three points here. 2 points here. I told you three, but it's really two. But I've got about 29. So we have plenty of sermon material. But what I want you to understand, saints, and what my heart's desire is for all of us, including myself, is if we are truly amateur creators, we need to step that up. And make just start doing it. Just do it. Just live that way. Remember Brother Pierre over there? And he was like, I just started speaking. This is what I start speaking what I expect. And things start happening. So start reacting in a way that you're not reacting, you're acting. You're proactive. You take control of that window of opportunity to either reach or initiate. Understand that you are working in the laws of God that are superior or higher. The law of gravity. Understand.
Thank you.